Genesis 2, verse 4.
These were the generations.
There's Genesis 2 for sale.
Tolkien. No.
Now, you can't tell us because it's not in Hebrew, but in Genesis, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, 3, God is Elohim, or El. From Genesis 2, 4 on, God is Yahweh. Now, it's because of that distinction, biblical scholars who looked at it just purely on the basis of scholarship have said, they've called these the different documents. You know, they were written by the different people at different times. Like, they're saying that from Genesis 2, 4 on was written, as it's the priestly document, which was written, you know, way, way many years later at the time of Ezra. I don't think that's the case. I think that it's very significant that Elohim is used as sort of an Elohim is like a word that means an impersonal judge or distant God or distant power. But Yahweh means I am. And so beginning with Genesis 2:4, we get the story is retold, but it's told a little bit differently. Okay? Now, with your approval, we're going to skip the Shema tonight because there's too much to do. Okay? Okay, Genesis 2, verse 4. Can everybody hear? These are the generations of the heavens. Now, notice that beginning now, this is the second of the 11 books that make up the book of Genesis. These are the generations, and from now on, the beginning of each of the books starts with that phrase, these are the generations, okay? These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, for those of you who have been here very long, you know that I believe, and I think we can prove, that the earth, prior to the flood, was enveloped in a mist, so that there was never sunlight. There was never you couldn't directly see the stars, nor could you directly see the sun or the day. It was a twilight kind of time with a very temperate climate. There was no ultraviolet rays that reached the earth, so man lived for these ungodly ages, 800-900 years. There was no anxiety or no tension because food was there. So the only two reasons for aging are the ultraviolet and tension or anxiety were essentially dismissed. Now, when it rained, it was a big deal. I mean, can you imagine Noah and his generation? They'd never seen rain before. Or can you imagine worse, Noah being running around telling the population that unless you repent, it's going to rain on you? Can you imagine the power that mountains would have that rise above the clouds? Can you imagine the mysticism of large mountains? Well, all that is true and still true. But you can, so we have now an environment in which there's a thick layer of clouds surrounding the earth. The sunlight is diffused, and the temperature is, that acts as an insulator. So probably the average temperature remained within 5 or 6 degrees of 70 degrees for the whole earth. Okay. Verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, One of the great confusions of life is the difference between spirit and soul. The more universal that a religion attempts to be, the more the difference between soul and spirit is diffused until there is no difference. So people now talk about the immortal soul, or saving of your souls, and they think of it in terms of, you know, there's no understanding in your minds of what's the difference between soul and spirit and body. Man didn't become a spirit at this point, he became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
So in seven, I mean, at this point, man doesn't have a spiritual component to him.
Man has the capacity for spirit if he can transform the innocence of the soul into holiness by the antagonism.
So even then, it was the same?
Same thing. Never changed.
Yeah, because he already had God stuff from verse
Didn't
27.
Didn't we study about that?
Hmm?
Didn't we study about that?
Mm-hmm. He's already, okay. There was already the possibility.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good, and there is, I can't ever pronounce that word, bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that encompasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. Now, in the not too distant future, we're going to see what those four rivers signify and what the fact that the first time in verse 12 they start mentioning gold and bdellium and the onyx and the relationship of all of the jewels that are mentioned in the Bible to the body and who you are and the meaning of gemstones. All of this will become part and parcel of, because we'll be forced into studying it as we go through the three-year cycle. That's the advantage of the three-year cycle. You can't ignore any of this stuff. Okay, but for now, I would ask you to wait until we get a little farther on before we study those four rivers and the jewels. Okay?
Are any of these rivers still around?
Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Or it was its better translation. It says, for in the day thou eatest of it, in dying ye shall die. Now, we've touched on in the past the latent power of the soul of Adam, that he was able to manage this entire region. That's what dress means, when you dress it. That he had dominion over every animal, that in order for him to manage it, it's a huge, huge region, he had to have the power, he had to have far more power than we do now. What many people call the psychic powers of telekinesis and other things. Ever since then, Adam was the best that you could be. Adam was the best that Adam could be. Adam was the best that the human race could be. He was in perfect in beauty, allegedly, and Eve was even more so. Remember what we've said about the beauty of Sarah versus the beauty of Eve? I mean, and the beauty of the most beautiful today versus the beauty, I mean, it's incomparable. What they say, the most beautiful of today is as a beast compared to the beauty of Eve. The most manly of today is as a, you know, a wimp and compared to Adam. The most intelligent of today is like a dolt and compared to Adam. We've denigrated so far that there's almost no... Adam probably wouldn't even be able to know, recognize that we're of the same race. There hasn't been evolution, there's been devolution. What?
We are devo.
You know what he's talking about?
Yeah, devo. Yeah. Suffer his idiocy.
Yes, continue on.
You know not what he's
doing. I said one thing.
Okay. Now we're at the things that we're going to go back to, and we've studied 100,000 times, and we'll study a million more times. The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's essentially if you were commanded not to eat of that, that meant that you would not have the capacity to judge whether a situation you would find yourself in at any given moment was right or wrong.
You just react.
You would just simply be.
So there wouldn't really be any thought.
Which is one of the ways Adam was able to do all that he did.
That's right. He didn't waste any time on self-thought. Can you imagine Adam considering his career objectives? Can you imagine Adam considering, for instance... can you imagine Adam worrying about adultery?
That'd be a challenge.
Can you imagine Adam worrying about coveting his neighbor's wife? Or coveting his neighbor's goods? Can you imagine Adam doing any of those things? Any of the Ten Commandments? Any of the six of the Ten Commandments he would never have the propensity to do because he had no neighbors. Now, the reason that means that in Adam and in Eve, together as the picture, was the potential for the perfect bride to have been created.
Yeah. It could have begun and ended there.
Right. You understand? Everything that was necessary for the mystery was finished before it was created.
Was he not tempting these things just because the temptations weren't available?
Well, I mean, can you start thinking about it?
You didn't even know about it.
There wasn't anything. I mean, was he going to go get a hard on for an oxen?
Well, wait, that's an admirable place. I mean, the temptation.
Well, that's right, but then it's an inadmirable one from God's standpoint because that which isn't fully tested is garbage. You know, that's why I said to you, are you ugly? Praise God. It gives you less opportunities. Are you broke? Are you poor? Praise God. I mean, everything that you think you want, it's the opposite with God. Got it? All right.
So you're saying here, the best guy that ever lived, the most capable guy that ever lived, and he only had one rule to follow.
Don't eat of that tree.
And it didn't work.
Well, it was a woman's fault.
You know what? Lewis.
Yes, there's a witness to that.
You're a Brexit.
It's an old argument.
He pointed at Liz. It's an old argument. You hit yourself.
It's a very old argument. See, that's weird to me. It's like, you know, God could have created, he could have created, tested innocence.
No, he couldn't. There's two things God cannot do. He cannot create tested innocence, and he cannot lie.
And that's it?
That's it.
So if he makes you a promise, he's got to keep it.
Can you understand why the test that you despise so much is the reason you're alive?
Yeah, I can when you put it that way. I mean,
Get in, it's just on general principles.
I can't even put it that way. Well, don't forget it, dummy.
We have to
put it on
the phone about.
I know.
We're going to put it on a couch on our forehead.
And I like to brag about the
man. Hey, he ought to hear him.
Not anymore.
You just a little like
not anymore.
I'm not doing it now. Huh?
But think about it. Every single time that I'm just as bad as the rest of you. Every single time that something doesn't go right by our definitions and our standards, we think the world's going to fall in. We think the end of the world is here. We think
that night, Henrietta, that
we're
was
not
my
getting very far.
My stereo.
And the Lord commanded this man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Now, again, you've got to see by now that eating is the metaphor for what you gain sustenance from.
So they could eat of the tree of life.
That, right. Every tree of them, they could gain eating, they could gain sustenance from the tree of that, gain sustenance from the tree of life. Okay? But watch what the woman did with it.
The woman.
This was
someone
in an
inauspicious beginning.
Besides that.
I wish they would have done
that. And basically told them they're all okay to eat from except the one that's poisonous.
Right.
Okay, listen.
I know what you think. She was such a bad.
Don't eat that one.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him."
No, I've just been thinking.
Hmm?
I'm just making a little
humorous. God, you're looking
stuff.
Your wife.
I have.
And you all know what helpmate means.
Companion antagonist.
Companion antagonist.
That verse follows immediately on the phrase, "Thou shalt surely die."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like a 1-2.
Yeah, and if that doesn't kill you,
this one,
we're going to give you a help meet.
You're either going to die or get married.
Yeah, we're going to help you. That's what we're going to do.
Adam had no money.
See, here, Harry's trying. He said it twice now. Everybody. Okay, Harry, now listen.
I like September's comment better than whatever it was.
And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And you remember from we ended up seeing how that the reason for the fall, or the fall, could not have taken place without the naming of the names. Remember? You'll have to ask your covering.
My covering?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
conveniently
Otherwise, why go on a trip?
why weird yourself out? I don't know, Ollie. Give me a break.
Don't let him stop him.
Does he mumble like this on for hours and hours?
Stopping before he jokes again.
You wonder why I feel like I'm going crazy.
He's mumbling.
So we were naming beasts and fowls last we left our hero.
Foul beasts.
Foul beasts.
Okay. Yeah, when last we left our hero.
Right. Beast, fowl. Beast, fowl.
Chicken.
Oh, that's your loose answer. Chicken in the...
Chicken, pussy. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. He tried. I mean,
there's a wonderful comedy routine.
You got to tell them both stories, or are you going to tell one?
No, I'm not going to tell any of them.
No,
and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Now, it doesn't say rib in the Hebrew. It just said out of the side he took that of Adam to make the woman.
Well,
now,
does this have anything to do with the fact that Christ being wounded in the...
Well, that's exactly what it typifies. Yes. That's it.
Right. Blood and water.
Blood and water, and it was of the same type. And so that's why this foretold the forming of the bride out of the side of Christ. This was the metaphor for it.
This was the beginning of the...
Well, but you know it
was... Amen.
It was a layup, nevertheless.
And Adam said, now, this is now bone of my bones. Now, this is what Christ is saying of us. Do you understand? That's what the importance of this is. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not confounded. They were not confused. They were not ashamed to be totally and completely open one to another. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Mm. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And he's got her. Why?
But she's already...
Because she added to the mystery. She said, you shall not eat of it, but you also shall not touch it. God said, whatsoever you touch, you shall have dominion over. And because she in her mind said, no, I shall not touch it, then that was the evil one that gave the moment of Satan to say it's the forbidden fruit. You understand? And the same is true in your life, in our lives. What for us is the forbidden that we shall not eat or gain sustenance of, we think, in order to gain our own righteousness, that we shall not touch it either. Then we can, but God says no. God says, lay your hands on it to have dominion over all things. You understand? Now, here's what happened. It's not quite in this thing. There's this tree, and it has some nice fruit on it. And the woman says, we shall not eat it, and we shall not touch it, lest we die. And the serpent says, you shall die. I'll prove it to you. Come over here and put your hand on the fruit. Did you die? Of course you didn't die. So then he had her, because then she began the downfall, the downward spiral of judging for herself everything rather than living in that moment of dependence.
It was okay to touch it.
It was okay to touch it.
So they could touch it.
Sure, but she made Adam.
God never said they could. Yeah.
You got it? Now, in the New Testament, Jesus said of this generation, he said, you shall travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you shall make him twice the child of hell that you are. Now, the only time a child of hell is defined is right here, in this next part of chapter 3. It's one who has eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, hear this, hear it at its crucial knife-edge point. If you judge for yourself good and evil at any given moment, what that is your exercise of your own divinity. You have to keep doing that until you can spew it out, until you no longer desire it, until you no longer desire your own divinity. When you say to God, as in Romans 12, I present myself to you a living sacrifice. No matter where you are when you say that, you don't know what it means yet. It means, basically, that you never again have the right to judge whether something in your life at any given moment is good or evil. You understand?
Yeah,
this is where the test meets the road. This is where the tire meets the road, daily.
Seems like, even as I hear that, I think I only understand the top layer of it, or the bottom layer, as it were.
Amen. Well, that's a good place to stop.
There's such deception in all that stuff. It's unbelievable. Because you can't, even if you do that, you can't judge correctly.
Let's go to first.
What you judge good is bound to be evil.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 real quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You got it? Verse 2. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Then he goes on. The idea is, the way you know that you've accepted another Jesus if you think suffering is strange. But as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, how did he do that? Well, there's a lot of lessons in it, but consider it. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay, we'll try to finish Tuesday.
That's why you don't have to analyze or
right.
Try to get anything
right. Right. You only do to satisfy your own hunger. You know, each of us have a different propensity for that. Like, for me, I've studied, like, for the first 10 years, 12 years, I studied 8 and 10 hours a day, sometimes 14, 16 hours a day. That's all I did. But that was my hunger. That was necessary. So don't just do whatever is there to satisfy your hunger, that you're satisfied. You've gained satisfaction. Okay? Don't try to duplicate what I did. Some of you may want to do more. I don't care. But trust your own hunger.
That's the hard thing for me.
Yeah.
I know that when you say that, something rings in me that is the true thing, and to walk off from that
See, the Pharisee always wants to give you his hunger. He wants you to meet his standard.
Wouldn't you like a hamburger?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Okay, take it, big guy.